bless our family so much. Sermon title is, What's Your Story? Is Jesus Writing It? I have a pencil here. Can we advance that, or? That's somebody else. It's probably a good sermon, but it's not my sermon. I don't know if the Holy Spirit's got something else in mind, but. Is that what? I might need some help here. Okay. Well, while we're waiting for the technical difficulties, Ann, you want to come forward? Ann Miedema? Where's Ann?
I think she wants to go back to all the
Peter? Yeah, she was going to help me teach them the song, but. Well, we'll go to Plan C here. There we go. What's your story? Where's my pencil now? What's your story? Is Jesus writing it? Mother Teresa once said, I am a pencil in the hand of God. Well, what if y'all just advance it? Can you advance it if I just raise my hand? Sorry, guys.
Ann's here.
Where's Ann? I don't
know what the plan is, Mark.
What's that?
I don't know what the plan is.
You want to teach us a song? Or can you sing? Well, oh, here we go. So there was a lady by the name of Fanny Crosby. I don't know if you know that name. She was blind. She wrote a song, Blessed Assurance. I'm sure all of y'all have heard that song. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. We sang some songs this morning. We said, my life is in His hands, we talked about. We said, He is our confidence. We said, you keep your promises. Isn't that great to have a Father that keeps His promises in a world where people say all kinds of things and never come through? All things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. We sang that song this morning. I just quoted you the verse, but that's what the intent of the song was. For His purposes, for your glory, and for your name. We sang that song this morning. We sang that He's the artist and He's the potter. I married an artist. And she's still trying to get me to draw, but it's not working very well. But we have the master artist. We have the master potter that can mold our lives. You know the song, Mold Me and Make Me After Your Will, consecrating ourselves to His purposes for our life. But what is your story? I remember Paul Harvey. I used to love to listen to him, and he would say a blurb, and then he would say, now the rest of the story. Have you given your pencil to God, who according to Hebrews 12:2 is the author, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and is seated at the right hand of God. In other words, have you turned that pencil over to him to write your story? We're talking about your testimony this morning. We'll try. We'll keep trying. 2 Corinthians 3:2 and 3 says, "You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts." Remember in Ezekiel, he says that I'm going to write on your heart. You know, we need to be more prepared. We're going to skip that. Yeah. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Remember, God wrote on the tablets of stone in the book of Exodus. But now, through the Holy Spirit, He's writing your book. He's the author of your faith. He's writing it on your heart. Have you totally submitted to Him? What's the next chapter of your life that you're letting Him write? God's Spirit writes on our hearts, changing us from the inside out. It's like our lives are an open letter that tells the story of Christ's redemptive work, which can be seen in how we love others, act with grace, and live with hope. What does the Bible have to say about your testimony? Deals with redemption, deals with transformation, then it deals with witness. John 12:32 says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Each one of us in our relationship with Jesus, as we lift Jesus up in what we say, think, and do, that draws men to ourselves, to himself. Not us, but him living in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then Mark 5:19, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." That was the demoniac, you remember, that Jesus delivered from all the demonic host. They was actually had the name Legion. He had so many demons in him. And Jesus says, go and tell what Jesus has done for you. What is your story? What do you have that you can share with others to show? What difference has Jesus made in your life? What was your life before you met Jesus? And what is your life like now? And what are the differences that you can describe to other people? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." This verse became very real to me in college. I was on an evangelistic campaign in Southern California, and we were driving an old school bus. That's all we could afford, us 20 college students. And we were on the way to our next destination, Portland, Oregon. And we stopped at a truck stop in Shasta, California. I don't know if you've ever been to Shasta, California.
What year was that, Mark?
This would have been, I would have been about 22 years old, and I'm almost 70. Okay. I know I look younger, but anyway, not. There was a guy there at the station, and he was all tatted up. That's before tattoos was a thing. And his mother was a prostitute, and his dad was a truck driver, with alcoholism. And this guy was a devil worshiper. And he was with one other guy, and we just asked him to get on the bus with us. We're on the way to Portland, Oregon, and we're singing praises to God the whole way. And we share the word of God with him. And when we get out at Portland, Oregon, I'll never forget it, we walk into this church, Peter. You know, you and I, we were able to have the baptism together. And I baptized him. And John, when he came out of the water, he looked physically different. That's the day that verse became real to me. I was blown away. Because not only was there a spiritual transformation, there was a physical transformation. That individual, the congregation adopted him, took him in, he got cleaned up, he got work, he got provision. I got letters later about his life, how it had changed, both him and the other guy. Just imagine that. You're empty. You're spiritually bankrupt. You're on the road in at the bottom of a mountain in Northern California, and then the Spirit of God gets in you, and everything changes. You talk about being born again. You talk about going from death to life. And you know something? Is there anything more thrilling than that? You know, Christina, you're fixing to have a new child, and that's going to be exciting. And that's going to be joyful. I know that. You helped my daughter. And I've got a beautiful 5-month granddaughter that I was able to hold on the deck in Colorado and sing songs of Jesus to us. And we're just bonding and we're just walking around in the woods and we're just having a great day. Doesn't get any better than that. But how about a new life in Jesus? How about a person you get to see in heaven? Who all are they going to bring to the kingdom in their lifetime? I get to meet all those people one day. It's going to be exciting. Well, Psalm 107, and we're going to camp out here in Psalm 107 here in a minute, but it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble." So just like Jesus instructed the demoniac in Mark there, just go tell others what Jesus has done for you in your life. Very simple. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be an elder. Just share simply what God has done in your life. So, Revelation 12:11. You remember the people there that they're getting persecuted, their property's getting confiscated. How did they overcome in their life? "And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death." Nothing more important than the blood of Jesus Christ that forgave you and empowered you, and then the word of his testimony. Let's stand up just a moment. And let's repeat after me. The Word of God is living. It's what? It's living. And it's active. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, discerning both the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You just recited Hebrews 4:12.
Amen.
Now, guys, that is a power that created something from nothing. That is a power that created everything you see around you. That is a power that raised people from the dead. Lazarus, come out. There's nothing like it. And Paul said, you know what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. And it's not just coming into the kingdom. He says, you know what? I'm going to empower you over sin in your life. I'm going to sanctify you. And then as not only am I going to justify you, not only am I going to forgive you, but ultimately you'll be glorified with me and you'll see me as I am. Is there a greater plan? Is there anything more exciting to share with people and get them involved in? What does Jesus say about this testimony? He says in 1 John 5, whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And what did John the Baptist say? He said, I've come to testify. I've come to prepare the way for Jesus, the Son of God, who he says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, right? That's Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, and we've beheld it. And you know what's so exciting? And what makes the Bible so believable? You take 12 regular folks, fishermen, just folks like you and me, just common people, and what are they willing to do? They're willing to be martyred for a lie? No, 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 no. They saw Jesus do miracles. They saw him resurrect people from the dead. They saw every manner of thing that could be done. And how could you be the same? You couldn't be the same. And so you're willing to do whatever it takes to follow his calling on your life. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. This is the, in John 4, this is the Samaritan woman who said, he told me all that I ever did. And what did Paul say after that tremendous testimony that he had, where God stops him in his tracks? Says, I love this in the Bible, it's so funny. Go to the street called Straight, can you imagine? And his vision is completely healed. So part of my testimony, I may have told this before, but I'm in the hospital. I don't know which surgery it was. I've had 3 open heart surgeries. Was it the second or third one? Second one? Thank you. And because I asked God, why am I doing this again? And I had a stroke after the surgery. And I lost my vision. And I'm there in the bed, and I feel helpless. And I said, God, just take my life. I don't want to be a vegetable. You made me an independent type person. I've had my own business my whole life. I don't want to be a burden on my family. Just take my life. Kind of feeling sorry for myself. Yes, sir. Right? And you know what God told me? He said, why can't you do blind? He said, I got other people can do blind. Anyway, Fran stood in the gap for me, Rudy. She called the elders of the church. Because James 5 says, if you're sick, ask the elders of the church to come and anoint your head with oil, and you'll be healed. So Sunday night, Bubba, those 5 elders come up there, and they pray over me, and they anoint my head with oil, and I immediately receive my sight. And he said, I'm a healer. Exclamation mark. How can you be the same? And he told me, he said, you know what? Every day is a gift. And he said, you know, when I said, I seek that none should perish, all I have eternal life. I'm not kidding about that. So whatever time you've got left, serve me. I'm going to renew your lease. Praise God. That's testimony. That's a witness to the power of God. And you know what? It's not over till God says it's over, and then it's just beginning. I don't care what the doctors tell you. I remember we were in Houston, Texas. My dad went 40 chemotherapy treatments, 40 radiation treatments. You're only supposed to get 40. We got 80. The only reason you did that, because they removed a quarter of his face, including his eye. And we're there in the doctor's office, and my dad's talking about Jesus. Best Bible teacher in Jesus I've ever encountered was my father, and I've been under some good people. And the doctor goes in there, and he looks at us kind of strangely like, what's wrong with y'all? What's wrong with y'all? You know, you look too happy. You know, as you walk in, I don't know if you've ever been in MD Anderson, but you walk in there, people got every kind of thing cut out of them. Depressed. No hope. Just like at the prison, I'd see that. And we told them, well, you know, praise be the Lord. The Lord giveth. And, you know, my dad's ready to go home. And my dad outlived the doctor that told him he's going to die a slow, painful death. Yeah. I will tell what he has done for my soul, Psalm 66, 16 says. Well, we're going to dive into 107. How much time do I have left? Where are we at? 15 minutes? We can hit this. Turn over to Psalm 107. Now, I'm going to give you a little hint here, guys. If part of the reason I'm up here today is to help you, to encourage you, to edify you, to tell your story. In my family reunion, I made a conscious effort to get around to from the very young to the very old, to try to encourage them in maybe their beginning faith or their longer faith. And this would be a great passage to take people to. If you're at Sharing Jesus in the Park, Thursdays with John over here, this would be a great passage because this connects on so many levels. But let's read this. Give thanks to the Lord. That's where it starts. For he is good. His love endures forever. We're going to learn, teach a little song, so stand up. This is the beginning of your testimony, is the praises of God. How many of y'all know the song, The Steadfast Love of the Lord Never Ceases? Raise your hand if you know that song. Well, I'll teach it to you, and I'm not a singer, so you're going to have to help. Nobody knows it? Okay, well, this is going to be brutal. It's a pretty simple song, but it's very important, and it fits right in with what we're talking about. When I say the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, his mercies never come to an end, they are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. That's from Lamentations 3 and 22. And that's from, they call the weeping prophet. Can you imagine preaching and preaching and preaching, Jeremy, and never having a convert? They didn't call him the weeping prophet for nothing. I mean, wow. But look at the praise that comes from him. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Therefore I will hope in him. Romans 5 says he pours his hope is into our hearts. So let's do that again. We can do better than that. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning.
Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Therefore I will hope in him.
Now we're going to have a little fun.
So,
you think you got it down? Okay. We're going to divide. We're going to do a round. I'm going to get bold here. Okay. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Who can lead that over here? Got anybody that can step up and lead that? Huh?
He's there.
Okay. Well, I think we might need to sing it one more time. Make sure you have it down. And then we're going to do a round. I'm going to start you all off. We're going to divide it right down the middle. So you all are going to sing louder than this group over here, okay? And then I'm going to start y'all in. When I go like that, we start the song, okay? But we're going to sing it one more time together. Ready?
Yep.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Therefore I will hope in him.
You ready?
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Therefore, I will hope in him.
All right, give yourself a hand. So back to Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. So, when you understand the consistency, the immutability, the steadfastness of God's love in your life, don't you just have to talk about it? Don't you have to just thank him for what he's done in your life, what he will be doing in your life? Amen. That's the basis of your testimony. God's love in your life, his faithfulness in your life. Right, Tom? He renews our lease. And here we go. Next chapter. God, here's the pencil. Getting weird on me again. Oh well. So, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from north and south, some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. We got 10 minutes left that we got? Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to go to a testimony, John. Jesus in the park. We're not going to be able to get all the way through Psalm 107. I apologize about that. But I want us to get this testimony. Can we bring that up, guys?